All right, so this is Scott here from trollishdelver.com, and I'm here with Stuart Lloyd, Lloyd of Gamebooks fame. Today we're going to be playing through Land of the Zombies by Ian Livingstone. Still got our stickers on.
Yes.
I
don't want to take mine off.
it's a collector's item. First edition. Before the rules were changed. So I guess
it's been changed.
Yeah. So I guess what we'll do is we'll just each take in turns to read out a section. We'll take it from there. But I guess first we'll have to roll up a character. You still roll up stamina, don't you, in this?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So do you want to do the honours, since you're the game book expert?
Do you want to do what, sorry?
Do you want to roll up some stamina?
Do you want to roll up the stamina? Yes. I might use my... Can you see that? Or should I just tell people? That's my dice app. No. I'll roll some dice. Right. I think stamina is now 2d6 plus 20.
Yeah.
So what I rolled? An 8. So we've got a stamina of 28.
Great.
So yes.
Note that down.
28.
Okay. Not bad. Okay.
Yeah, so what else? We've got to take measure our equipment.
So what equipment do we get?
Should we read the background?
Yeah.
You don't just have any equipment, but you need to know so you will get equipment.
Yeah.
You have to take note of all the zombies you kill. You get dollars. And med kits.
All right. Okay.
So, we don't get any of those to start with, which is a shame.
So we've got nothing.
So yes.
Not even any rations.
Nothing.
Jeez.
Which is a shame. But there we go. I suppose you're... No. See, he's in Livingstone. He loves making it hard, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll find something. So combat's different.
It's sort of there are a certain amount of zombies and you roll, and if there are excess zombies you get damaged. If you roll more than there's amount of zombies, you kill them. Is that right?
So at the moment our damage is 1d6 minus 3 for being unarmed.
Great.
But I'm sure we'll pick up something nice and juicy, damage
things. Some grenades. Yeah. Okay, cool. Alright, well...
Yes.
I'll read out the background then, so everybody knows what's happening. So... Ooh. Was it the cold iron shackles biting into your bleeding wrists that woke you? Or was it the terrible hunger in your belly? It doesn't matter. You are awake again for at least the 10th time tonight. If, in fact, it is night. It is not easy sleeping on a concrete floor at the best of times, but when your wrists are chained to a wall, it's virtually impossible. The gloomy cell in which you are imprisoned would be in total darkness were it not for the bare light bulb fixed to the ceiling above you, a small globe of pale, flickering light. Cockroaches scurry across the floor, but you don't even care. How long have you been held prisoner? Is it 5 or 6 days since you were thrown into the cell? It is impossible to tell. Time passes slowly. The only break from your solitude comes when you hear the grating sound of the bolt on the heavy steel door sliding back. That signals the entrance of a thick-set prison guard who staggers into the cell, limping from an old wound and usually drunk. If you are lucky, he will be carrying a small bowl of foul-tasting stew that slops over the rim as he lurches along. If you are very lucky, he will also bring a chunk of stale bread and a mug of pale coffee made from dregs. Lovely. He always places the food on the floor just out of your reach, his cruel, pockmarked face momentarily smiling as he enjoys the moment. He knows that if he does this, you have to stretch to reach the bowl with your feet, making the shackles bite deeply into your bleeding wrists. He never speaks, but always kicks you hard in the ribs on his way out before slamming the door behind him and bolting it shut. He doesn't seem to care whether you live or die. It was hard to come to terms with the fact that you're a prisoner. As a second year student of mythology at Bolingbroke College, it had been a great summer for you until now. You had spent 6 weeks of your holiday travelling through southern Europe, trying to find evidence of legendary beasts. Yes, bizarre. You started your quest by flying to Crete in search of Minotaur bones and the cave of the Cyclops, alas, without success. I wonder who is funding this. From there, you went by boat to Sicily looking for evidence of werewolves, again, without success. Then you travelled by boat and train to Hungary, where you search for ghosts and spectres in the shadows of misty graveyards and ruined castles. Much to your disappointment, none materialised. Hitching rides and open-top trucks, you ended up in Romania, in the part once known as Transylvania, where Count Vlad, the notorious vampire, reputedly drank the blood of his many victims. During a week spent asking the locals if they knew anything about these vampires, you were met with the only blank looks and shaking heads until you encountered a wrinkled old man who was willing to talk to you for the price of a new hat. He took you some 3 kilometres north of his village to a stone crypt. This is sounding dodgy. Its entrance overgrown and virtually hidden by brambles and ivy. Whilst you cut back the weeds covering the steps down to the entrance, the old man disappeared without a word. The crypt door was locked, but the wood was rotten, and you were able to kick it open. You shone a torch down the stone stairs and made your way slowly to a damp chamber. Brushing back the thick cobwebs, you saw an ancient dust-covered coffin set on a stone plinth at the back of the chamber. With your heart pounding, you crept forward and lifted the lid, but the coffin contained a yellow-boned skeleton, not the sleeping vampire you'd hoped to find. You went back outside to find 3 burly thugs waiting for you. Armed with clubs, they set upon you as you tried to make a run for it. You struggled, but barehanded, it was a fight you were always going to lose. You were handcuffed and gagged before being bundled into the back of an old black car and driven for miles along a narrow... How do you know it was a black car if you were blindfolded? Along a narrow road that carved its way through a dense forest to a range of hills. There you saw a foreboding-looking castle built of dark stone nestled in the valley between 2 hills. Thugs grinned at each other, agreed that you would be sold for a good price at the castle. That's all right. You realised that you were in grave danger, no pun intended. Not only had you been kidnapped, but you were about to be sold to a modern-day slave trader, or perhaps worse. The car sped up the hill until it reached the high-walled castle, where it screeched to a halt outside arched entrance doors. The thugs dragged you out of the car as the castle doors slowly creaked open to reveal a courtyard with some people milling about in it. You were blindfolded and handed over to the unseen person who led you into the courtyard. You heard groaning voices all around you. Dogs brushed against your legs, sniffing curiously. Somebody bumped into you. The strange gurgling sound erupted from their throats was nothing like you've heard before. You were jostled and pushed around until the crack of a whip and a commanding voice drove the unruly mob away. Indiana Jones approached. Much to your relief, you were taken indoors out of the burning sun and marched along what must have been a long corridor. Doors opened and slammed shut behind you, and it became noticeably cooler as you were led down several staircases. You were bundled along more passageways, stumbling against walls and banging your head against low door frames, until at last you were ordered to stop. Then you heard for the first time the now familiar grating sound of the steel bolts of your prison cell sliding open. You were kicked inside and your handcuffs were removed, replaced by heavy shackles that were chained to the wall. Your blindfold was taken off and you set eyes on your fat-faced prison guard for the first time. His pot belly strained against his filthy white t-shirt as he swung his army booted foot into your ribs, as he would many times over the next few days. Sweating and panting from the effort of kicking you, he spoke to you, a few words in a deep, sneering voice. "Welcome to Goraya Castle. My name is Otto. My master is Gingrich Yur. He's going to kill you." Ignoring your pleading questions, he left the cell, roaring with laughter. It was the only time he ever spoke. "Who is Gingrich Yur? What does he want? Why does he want to kill you?" You took helplessly at the chains in anger, trying to get free. Eventually, you give up and focus the challenge of reaching the stew and bread before the cockroaches do. "Now turn over." All right, well played, Ian.
So now, Scott, you read the background. You did a wonderful job.
Thank you.
So I'll start reading paragraph one.
Cool.
I feel a bit behind there. You read a whole 3 pages. Right. you kick the cockroaches away and stretch to reach the bread with your feet. You drag it towards you, grabbing it with one hand. You break off small pieces, flicking them one at a time into your mouth. You make a stupid promise to yourself that one day you will do this as a party trick for your friends, if you live to tell the tale. You breathe in before stretching even further, this time to reach to the bowl. The pain is unbearable as the shackles dig even deeper into your lacerated wrists, causing fresh blood to trickle down your arms. A few weeks ago, you could not imagine putting yourself through so much agony just to reach a bowl of old stew, but now hunger drives you on. With one last excruciating effort, you just manage to get both feet around the bowl, lifting it up carefully and passing it to your shackled hands. You tip the contents of the bowl into your mouth, gulping down the foul-smelling slop. It tastes so bad that for a moment you think you're going to be sick, but you're so hungry that you devour every morsel, bristle and all. But a few chunks of rotten meat are not enough to keep a mangy dog alive, let alone a starving prisoner. Something has to be done before you die of hunger. And if it is true that Gingrich Yur is going to kill you, there's nothing to lose. You are going to have to try to escape from your prison cell. Oh, our first choice.
Whoa.
If you want to call out to Otto, turn to 59. If you'd rather wait to talk to him when the next enters your cell, turn to 194.
Oh, well, this is the classic. You hide behind the door and you crack him on the head when he comes in.
Exactly.
Yeah. So shall we get him in here?
Yeah, let's call out to him.
Okay.
I think that's
cool.
Right.
Okay.
Shall I do this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I just feel a bit behind. You have the whole background. you shout at the top of your voice for several minutes, but nobody comes. Eventually, you still hear the steel bolt door slide open. Otto enters the cell looking very angry, very angry. He has a dirty, food-stained cloth tied around his neck. He was in the middle of his meal and is very annoyed at how it's interrupted by a common prisoner like you. Without a word, he comes over to you, kicks you several times in your already damaged ribs as hard as he can. There's a sickening noise as one of them cracks, lose 3 stamina points, oh dear. You're in too much pain to try and escape and decide to wait until Thug's next visit. After giving you one final boot for good measure, he walks off to finish his meal. Turn to 194. Yeah. Well, that's the one we could have turned to. What a pain.
Great.
Good old Ian. So, yes.
194. Okay. You can do this one as well.
Okay, this is where I died. I had a sneak peek. Well, see, I think Ian's very sadistic. He turns your instincts and turns them against you. Many hours pass before you hear the sound of the steel bolt sliding open again. Even though you have come to fear Otto's boots, the noise of the bolt also signals the arrival of food, disgusting though it is. As often as the case, Otto is drunk and looking forward to playing his usual game of placing your bowl of cold stew just out of reach before giving you a good kick. But this time you're going to fight back. To distract him, you tell him that he smells worse than a bag of dead frogs.
Burn.
Which sends him into a blind rage. But you are prepared, committed in your mind to an all or nothing move. You will try to wrap your legs around him and pull him to the ground. As he pulls his leg back to kick you, you seize the moment and strike. Holding on to the chains, you thrust your legs upwards to ensnare the fat jailer. If you want to try a risky headshot, turn to 299. If you want to go for his body, turn to 345.
Risky. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose if you hit him in the head, he's gone. If you want to go for his... Yeah.
Oh, that's why I know the result for this one.
Oh, no. Shall we go for the body then?
Yeah. That's a good idea. When I first peeked at this, I figured to go for his head because it's a zombie book, but then
yeah,
it didn't make sense. He's not a zombie.
Not a zombie. Okay.
So. Who'd like to read this one?
Yeah, okay. Otto's reactions are slow, and your quick movement catches him off guard. You manage to wrap your legs around his midriff and haul him screaming to the ground. He tries to wriggle free, but you hold onto him, wrapping one of your chains around his neck. He gasps for breath and lashes out, catching you in the face with his elbow, but causing no real damage. You hang on to him and pull harder on the chain until he gives up the struggle and passes out. He slumps down on top of you, but you are just able to reach his belt. Your searching fingers find a key attached to a thin chain on his belt.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. Convenient. The chain is just long enough for you to be able to pull to put the key in the lock of your shackles. It fits and the lock pops open, much to your relief. You unlock the other shackle and snap it shut over the unconscious thug's wrist. A search of his pockets yields nothing more than a photo of a plump, middle-aged woman, which you throw to the floor. You rub your injured wrists and think about what to do next. You are barefoot and wearing the same t-shirt and cargo shorts you had on when you were kidnapped. The change of clothes would be welcome, but Otto's smell worse than yours do. So that will have to wait. You must find a way to escape. Otto starts to moan as he regains consciousness. If you want to interrogate him, turn to 21. If you want to leave the prison cell immediately, turn to 73. Well, I would have thought the best course of action would maybe to be just to lock him in there. But...
Yeah.
I mean, will he know that much? He's just a peon.
He is, yeah. Should we just leave?
Get out and lock him in.
Yeah.
Before I can do anything. Yeah, so 73.
Right. So I'll read this one.
Yep.
Well, sorry, you keep getting the long ones. I'll read the long one next time. As you turn to leave, Otto begs you to release him. But instead you take the key off his chain and throw it into the corner of the room, telling him that you hope somebody will bring him a nice bowl of stew. You bid him farewell and walk over to the steel door. You peer out into the corridor, which is lit by a row of flickering strip lights in the ceiling. You sense evil all around and hope to find a weapon sooner rather than later. To your right, the corridor ends at a half-open doorway. To your left, the corridor continues as far as you can see. Right. So do we want to go to the open doorway or left of the corridor? I presume that whatever we do here will probably get us... determine whether we die or not later on.
I imagine so, yeah. Well, I suppose if you're going to an open doorway, you can probably see what's ahead of you. If you're just heading left down a corridor, I don't know, maybe something might jump out. But then again, this is Ian Livingstone, so I'm yes. probably going to die either way.
Well, I was thinking, if it's an open door, it could be a dead end, and it could be like one of those rooms where you can then leave.
Yeah,
and
true.
Then the other way anyway.
True.
So,
So, doorway?
And yeah, let's go with doorway.
Okay.
If it's a long one, I'll read it, because you read, right, it's a better page, I'll read it.
Yeah, you read it.
Because you read the background and everything. Right. as you approach the doorway, the strong smell of cooked food fills your nostrils and awakens your hunger. Oh, yummy. Consumed by the thought of eating, you dash to the doorway into a small, poorly-lit room which appears to be Otto's living quarters. Rubber sheets cover a thin mattress on a wrought-iron bed in one corner, and set against the far wall is an old gas cooker that has a saucepan of potatoes simmering on the hob. Above the cooker, there is some badly painted green shelves fixed to the wall. One shelf is crammed with cooking utensils and crockery, and the other is laden with bags of vegetables, most of which are rotten. On the floor, you see a bright red shoulder bag and the word Hendrix printed on the ornate lettering. You open the bag and find it contains nothing more than some dice, three pencils, a few coins, a book with half the pages missing, and a magazine about accordions. Right. None of this is interest to you, not even the accordions. And you enter the contents onto the floor and keep the bag. In the middle of the room is a rickety table with a white laminated top on which lie a paperback book and a plate of hearty, eaten meatloaf and potatoes. If you want to finish Otto's meal, turn to 317. If you want to leave the room and head down the corridor, turn to 93.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe by game book logic, if we finish Otto's meal, we'll regain some stamina. But by conventional logic, you probably won't want to go and eat somebody's random food.
Exactly. Well, this is the man who decided that if you eat a mouldy loaf of bread, you'll find a key in it or something. So.
Yeah, that is true, that there was a key in that mouldy loaf of bread. I want to take the accordion magazine.
It says
we're not interested, but I'm actually interested, so I'm going to note it down.
Yes.
Accordion magazine. You never know when we might need it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You never know when you might find some accordion-loving zombie.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Okay. Are we going to eat it and hope for stamina?
Yeah, hope for stamina.
Let's
do
it.
Probably, in Livingstone logic, some kind of magical sword or something. You know,
a sword in the meatloaf. Yeah.
Exactly. So yes, right, 317.
Yeah.
Right, this is a short one.
Okay. even though plain meatloaf is not your favourite dish, right now it tastes like the best meal you've ever had in your life. You help yourself to some potatoes and scoff them down until you can eat no more. You pat your full stomach contentedly and let out a loud belch. And 2 stamina points. You're
yes.
about to leave the room when you spot a small metal box tucked away under the stove. Ooh. If you want to open the box, turn to 178. If you'd rather leave the room and head down the corridor, turn to 93.
I think we have to open the box.
I think we have to, yeah.
Right, shall I read the box?
Yeah.
Okay. Right, here we are. The box contains a small penknife, 1d6 minus 2. So we've got slightly better damage now.
Brilliant.
Yay. $15.
Yep.
That's good. And some string.
Handy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good. You take what you want, putting the items into the bag, which you sling over your shoulder before leaving the room to head down the corridor. Turns 93.
You are tempted to go back into your cell to give Otto a kick, but decide against petty revenge. You hurry down the corridor, the smooth concrete floor uncomfortably cold on your bare feet. After some distance, you see some messages scrawled on the wall. One says, "They're coming to get us." Another says, "We're doomed." There are other messages in languages you don't understand. You keep walking until you come to a black canvas pouch hanging from a hook in the wall. If you want to open the pouch, turn to 36. If you'd rather keep on walking down the corridor, turn to 391. So there's a pouch hanging from a hook on the wall. Do we reach into it?
I'd like to open it.
I think that's best.
What could you find in a pouch and bag?
No. Oh, good.
I'll read this one. The pouch contains a small key with a number 9 stamped on it. So numbered items, we're obviously on the right track.
Yeah.
A box of matches and a marker pen.
Wee.
Take the items you want, which is all of them, obviously, yep, and carry on down the corridor.
Key.
No. So you're allowed to take a marker pen, but it doesn't say anything about a magazine or that accordion. It's terrible. Mm.
Well, it's a good job we took that magazine.
It is. Now we can highlight the the bits that we like.
Okay. You can have this one, since you had a short one before.
Ah, yes. The corridor ends at a door. You hear the sound of footsteps coming from the other side. There is no alternative but to open the door and face where it is. You breathe in deeply, you kick the open door and charge in to find yourself standing in a large storeroom. There is a man making notes on his clipboard, inspecting the floor-to-ceiling shelves, which are mostly empty. He is about 30 years of age, so obviously you can tell the age of people.
Oh, yeah.
Quite stocky, with a shaved head, and wearing orange overalls and black boots. He appears unconcerned by a sudden intrusion. Ah, you must be the new prisoner. I wasn't expecting to see you here, he says in a matter-of-fact kind of way. Nobody has ever escaped from Otto's dungeon before. Do you want to give me one reason why I shouldn't raise the alarm? Before you can speak, the man smiles and says, the answer is, my friend, is money. Show me the money. My name is Boris. Right.
Show me the money.
Yeah. My name is Boris. And I'm Gregor, says a deep voice to his left. Yes, well, I suppose if you... Yes. You turn to see a much older man with a heavily lined face. He's wearing a brown bomber jacket and dirty old trainers. For some reason, the top of his head is wrapped in grubby bandages. Oh, what a backstory. You can't believe Stephen. There is a door in the wall opposite, the one you came through. If you want to make a dash for the other door, opposite the one you came through, the way I said that just made it sound weird. If you want to make a dash for the other door, turn to 157. If you want to stay and talk to the men, turn to 51. Well, this is the mandatory shop that here in Livingstone.
Yeah, it is. And we've got $15. Now, where did it say we were?
In the book or in...
We're in Eastern Europe, aren't we?
Yeah, in a castle.
Probably don't want dollars then, do they?
No. This one would probably either be euros or...
Yeah.
There we go.
So, do we have a chat? Have a little chat with them, you know?
Let's have a chat. It's a shop in a castle, so it's obviously, by that logic, it must be okay. This is where we buy stuff.
Excellent. So, yes. Let's get a shotgun. Okay. You introduce yourself to the men, telling them how you came to be kidnapped. Tell somebody who cares, Boris says, shrugging his shoulders, indifferent to your hard luck story. Listen, we can help you. We have things that you need which we might be willing to sell you, but only at a price. And that price is dollars. take it or leave it. If you have some dollars and wish to buy something, turn to 131. If you do not have any dollars and you can either head over to the far door, 157, or fight the men, 284. Well, we do have dollars. We have $15. So should we just buy some stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, 131.
Right, I'll tell this. Good decision, says Boris with a smirk on his face. You probably want to know, I'm trying to accent this. You probably want to know what's going on in this castle. I'll tell you for $10. If you want to pay for the information, turn to 229. If you do not want to give Boris the money, you can either head over to the far door, turn to 157, or fight the men, turn to 284.
Oh, right.
I petered this bit as well. if you give him the money, then you'll be able to buy something from him, buy some other random little trinkets from him.
Yeah.
So, I think we should buy his
information. Buy the information. Yeah, let's go for it.
Yes. Even though, if the cover of the books, obviously, this is people who haven't seen the cover of the book or the title. Or yes.
So 229. Okay. Okay. After you hand the money over to Boris, he tells you that Gingrich Ure is an insane megalomaniac, hell-bent on world domination. In his twisted mind, he believes the only way he can do this is to lead an army of zombies to conquer mankind, naturally. Ure despises all humans, tolerating only his scientists and a few servants out of necessity. The scientists are helping him with his evil master plan. They have experimented for years in his subterranean laboratory, developing a mutated human gene. They found they were able to turn physically weak people into mindless zombies by injecting them with blood contaminated with this gene. For the last year, Ure's henchmen have kidnapped hundreds of victims who were locked up and starved until they were weak enough to be transformed. The zombies are kept underground in semi-darkness, locked up inside huge cellars. Some are occasionally allowed to roam around the castle for Ure's amusement. He enjoys watching them go berserk with rage, paying for blood. God, this guy needs the internet. Boris is certain that one day Gingrich Ure will inject himself with the contaminated blood to lead his army of zombies against the world. Not surprisingly, who would like to leave before this day comes? Boris says with a frown. We've earned decent money here, but we're not allowed to leave. So it's all been a bit pointless, really. Gregor and I are hoping to bribe one of the scientists to get us out of this hellhole as soon as possible. It will be Armageddon Day when Ure unleashes his zombies on the world, but maybe you can stop him. It's a monumental task, but it's not impossible. You will have to kill his zombies, each and every one of them. You've got to kill them all. If you don't kill them all, we're doomed, and so are you. Love this guy. Boris's desperate words ring inside your head. What he's told you about Ure seems crazy, but maybe it's true. Could it have been zombies who jostled you in the courtyard when you arrived? Have you ironically found the mythological beast you have spent so long searching for? Or are they about to find you? You smile at Boris and tell him you have nothing to lose and that you'll do it or die trying. Both men cheer loudly, yay, and give you a big slap on the back in gratitude. A few words of advice before you begin your zombie slaying, stranger, Boris says, looking at your wrists. Make sure your open wounds don't get any zombie blood in them, or you'll end up becoming infected too. The zombie virus is highly contagious. If you want to ask Boris if there's anything in the storeroom which could be of use to you, turn to 329. If you would rather thank him for the advice, say goodbye and walk immediately out over the door in the far wall, turn to 157. Yeah, I think we need to get some stuff.
Yeah, right, 329.
Yeah.
This is the shopping, okay.
Excellent.
We haven't got much in stock at the moment, but you are welcome to what we have. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to charge you. So he wants you to save the world against zombies, but he still wants to charge you. Oh, that's terrible. Where's the humanity? If there is any stock missing and Ure finds out, we'll be turned into zombies immediately. Boris looks at his clipboard and reads out what he has for sale, saying, everything here costs a dollar, so we can buy up to five things because you're $5 now.
Brilliant.
We've got rubber gloves, AAA batteries, hacksaws, screwdrivers, pencils, steel pulleys, magnifying glasses, magnets, string, fish hooks, sunglasses, knife sharpeners, glue, packing tape and scissors. Were there pencils in that bag that we decided to leave behind?
Yeah.
Terrible. A bit of a mixed bag, but there we are. What would you like to buy?
Oh my God. Okay, well, sunglasses will make us look cool.
Yes.
But probably won't do anything else. Glue, glue, no. I mean, probably a nice, maybe a screwdriver. Screwdrivers are always useful.
They are useful.
Weapons and tools.
Yeah. That's a nice fish hook's probably aren't that useful. We've
No,
already got
we've got
string.
string, yeah.
Magnifying glasses, Magnus. AAA batteries, they're the small kind.
Yeah, I mean, you could have a, like a tiny torch, maybe. Yeah.
That's true, yeah,
Tiny
it would be
torch.
useful. Yes.
Rubber gloves
Nice one.
might be useful, because you know, you might need to put your hand into some zombie's chest cavity at some point.
Yeah, clear or something electrical. Yeah, so possibly rubber gloves, batteries, screwdrivers. That's three. Packing tape and scissors. String. We have string. Magnets.
Magnets, yeah, that seems quite specific. I know the rest is quite specific, but magnets.
Yes, just a load of magnets. Oh, there's also provisions. We can ask him if he has any provisions as
Oh,
well.
yeah.
I wonder if that will cost anything. But, so we should take
Probably a dollar.
screwdrivers. So we said screwdrivers. What else was there? The batteries.
We might.
And
What about the hacksaw?
a saw.
Yeah.
Oh, and the gloves as well.
Yeah. So gloves, batteries, screwdriver, hacksaw, and then a provision. If that costs a dollar.
I might skip ahead.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost anything. It gives you a bar of chocolate and a bottle of water.
Brilliant.
So you add three stamina points. So should we buy another item? We've got $1
Yeah,
left.
may as well.
So yes.
Steel pulleys. That seems
That's
like
a bit
it.
random, isn't it?
Yeah, that seems like it might be quite useful.
Yeah, it's a steel pulleys then.
Yeah.
It sounds like you could form some kind of device with the pulleys, the string, and like a shit, a magnet or a, well, then yes, then
MacGyver would know what to do.
no batteries, gloves. So we've got batteries, gloves, saw, steel pulleys, and now we're back up to 28 stamina points.
Cool.
So I can, well, I'll read the provisions thing.
Cool.
Just for our wonderful listeners and tell them what's happened. We haven't got any provisions for sale. But Gregor and I would be very happy to share with you what meagre supplies we have, Boris says, handing you a bar of chocolates and a bottle of water. Oh, you devour the chocolates and gulp that water. Add three stamina points. Wow, a bar of chocolate gives you three stamina points. You thank the men for their help, say goodbye, and walk over to the door in the far wall with Boris's words ringing in your ears. Kill them all. You've got to kill them all. Turn to 157. Okay, so you've got to kill them all. And yes. He doesn't sound that desperate. He's just taken $15 from you. He could have just given you everything, really.
Yeah.
Right. So, we think it's stocked up. I don't know. I have no idea if they're the items we need. But,
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh well, we'll see what we can do with them.
Yes.
Okay, so the door opens into another white-walled corridor, illuminated by bright strip lights. You see the words "Help me" written in dried blood on the left-hand wall. You don't stop to think about it and carry on until you arrive at a T-junction. Oh, not a T-junction. Where the corridor branches left and right as far as you can see. If you want to go left, turn to 103. If you want to go right, turn to 265. What's your philosophy on T-junction, Stuart?
My philosophy on T-junction. I heard somewhere you've got to go right. I think Tregor tells you that in the Nightmare books. You've always got to take the right path.
So, yeah.
But I don't know if me and Lewisstone goes by Treyguard. My philosophy is generally to peek ahead, but I don't want to do that. That'd be rude. I want to say right.
Right, we'll go right.
Okay, let's see. Okay, you notice a small door no more than a meter high in the right-hand wall of the corridor. A simple latch keeps it closed. If you want to open it, turn to 84. if you'd rather keep walking down a corridor, turn to 202. I think we have to open the
next. I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see what happens.
Okay, the door opens into a small, musty-smelling cubbyhole, which is used for storage. It is disgustingly filthy inside, with rats' droppings covering the floor and cobwebs hanging down in the corners. There are two large plastic storage boxes tucked away in the back. The first box is full of old newspapers and magazines. The second contains old books, a wallet with $2 inside, and a small cardboard box full of bullets. You put the items you want into your bag before closing the cubbyhole door and carry on walking along the corridor, turn to 202. Brilliant, got some bullets and some dollars.
Yay. Okay, 202.
Yeah.
I think we may have taken the wrong choice because we don't have to walk back.
Yeah.
There we go. You pass by a dirty old mattress that is propped up against the right-hand wall. It appears to have been dumped down the corridor long ago. Broken springs stick out from the torn, grubby cover. If you want to look behind it, turn to 141. If you'd rather keep on walking, turn to 304.
This looks like a tetanus shot waiting to happen, really.
Yes. I suppose we have to.
Let's be curious.
Yeah. He's probably got one thing in here that kills you if you're curious. But there we go.
Probably. So 141, let's see what's behind this mattress. There is a narrow passageway behind the mattress, so narrow it requires you to walk sideways to go down it. You peer down it, but it's too dark to see far. If you want to squeeze yourself down it, turn to 244, or if you'd rather keep on walking, 385. So squeeze down the narrow, random passageway.
Yes.
A certain doom and death, yeah? Cool.
Yes.
244.
Right. As you inch your way slowly down a narrow passageway, you see a chink of light in the distance. You also notice a very bad smell in the air. Something akin to rotten eggs. You keep going as quietly as possible. At last you come to the end of the passageway and see that it leads to what looks like an old workshop. There is a disused fireplace set in the left-hand wall with an anvil in front of it. An anvil? Okay. A long workbench is set against the right-hand wall with a vise fixed to it and an old broken tool lying on top of it. A tatty orange plastic curtain stretches across the wall opposite. As you step into the room, the curtains are suddenly pulled apart by snarling half-dead humans in ripped clothes who rush at you, trying to slash you with their long broken nails of their outstretched hands. Their skin is grey and blighted with open wounds and festering sores. They have long dishevelled hair with teeth missing from their blackened mouths. Swollen tongues fill their open mouths and their vacant eyes are milky white, red-rimmed and sunken in their sockets. They screech and gurgle in anticipation for a torture. There are zombies, 8 of them in total.
Whoa.
You have to fight them barehanded or with a weapon if you have one. So we're currently fighting with a penknife at 1d6-2.
Yeah, this isn't going to go our way.
No. No. Shall I roll the die, see
what
happens?
Yeah, go on.
Oh, it's a 1, obviously. Now, do I deal 1 damage or do I deal 0 damage?
One damage, yeah.
Okay, so we've just lost 7 stamina points, so I'm 21.
Brilliant.
Right, let's see what happens now. A 2, right? So we lose 6 stamina points, so I'm 15.
Yeah.
A 4, so we're down, we've killed 4 of them, so we're down to 11 stamina points.
Mm-hmm.
Right, roll a 6, please, roll a 6. A 4 again, so we lose 2, so 9. Roll something more than a 3. A 2. So we lose 1 more stamina point for every win. So we've lost 20 stamina points in that battle.
Brilliant. And we're on 8, are we?
Yes.
Brilliant.
So we've also killed 8 zombies at the moment.
Okay, let's note that 8 down. 8 Zeds.
This isn't going to go well. Oh, that's not going to go well.
Yeah, I mean, if we were starting with the original stamina points, we'd be dead.
Yes, exactly. What would that be? Yeah, real twi- yes, we would. Ah, dear.
Okay, so 395. Let's look. You step over the twitching bodies of the zombies and take a good look around the room. The only thing of interest you find is a pair of blacksmith tongs, which you put in your bag. There is an alcove behind the curtain where you find a black iron door that was previously hidden. If you want to open the door, turn to 32. If you'd rather go back down the narrow passageway and turn right into the main corridor, 385. Well, I have the feeling that this was, since it had a big illustration next to it, this was one of the sort of maybe key events of the book, maybe. So I think we should open the door.
Yes, I agree. I love the metagaming. This is pretty good. Ooh, all right, this is interesting. The door is locked and far too sturdy to break down or break open. You could try a key in the lock if you have one. If you do have a key, turn to the number which is stamped on it. If you don't have a key, you have no choice but to go down the narrow passageway and turn right into the main corridor. But
well,
we do have a key.
We do, we've got nine.
Nine.
Let's see.
Right.
Okay, this looks good. Much to your satisfaction, the key turns in the lock. The heavy door creaks open, leading to an old coal store. There is a shovel on top of the pile of coal, but nothing else of interest. There is a black iron door in the far wall and a key hanging on a hook nearby. If you want to search for the pile of coal with the shovel, turn to 170. If you'd rather try and open the door with the key hanging on the hook, turn to 321. Now this sounds like a devious puzzle. Do you use the obvious key to open the door, or do you try and find one within the coal?
I think we'll look for the coal.
Yeah, I think so.
Right. It's dirty work. It is indeed. And you're soon covered in coal dust. You're just about to give up digging when your shovel hits something solid. What could be in a big pile of coal? You clear away the coal to discover an old plastic sack tied with nylon twine. You can tie the sack and find a grappling hook attached to a good length of climbing rope, obviously.
Yeah.
You fasten it to your belt, thinking it might be needed later. Oh, well, yeah, see it in Livingstone. And go over the door and try open it with a key hanging on the hook.
Oh, okay. Okay, 321. The key unlocks the door, which opens into a boiler room housing four large rumbling boilers with outlet valves hissing steam. Gurgling hot water pipes lead up from the boilers, disappearing into the low ceiling. There is a large metal air vent in the ceiling, yet it is still very hot inside the room. At the far end of the room, there is another iron door and a key hanging on a hook next to it. If you want to search the boiler room, turn to 69. If you'd rather try to open the door on the far wall with the key hanging on the hook, turn to 109.
I think we should search again. I think searching's been
searching,
pretty good.
Yeah, searching's been pretty good so far, so I think we'll search.
Okay. There is a small, red-painted cupboard fixed to the left-hand wall that you hadn't noticed earlier, as it was hidden from view on one of the boilers. And hopefully you find some bandages and antiseptic cream that you used to bind your wounded wound in the cell still in bad shape from the shackles. Add 2 stamina points. So we're on a massive 10 stamina points.
Oh, yeah.
Suddenly you hear a noise overhead. Sliding down the air vent are 3 zombies who land on the floor in a crumpled heap. Okay, if they stand up awkwardly and step forward to attack, you must fight them barehanded or with a weapon if you have one. We've still got our trusty pen, right?
Yeah, we need to roll a 6, really.
Yes, 3, you know, 6 or 5 will kill them all in one go.
Yeah.
While I rolled, a 2. Right, so we'll use 2 stamina. And the 2 remaining zombies. Right, so if I roll a 4 or more, you won't have to use 1 stamina. A 3. Okay, so we need 1 stamina, so I'm down to 7. So I've just rolled the worst possible. Yes. Okay, turns 273. You continue your search of the boiler room and find a crowbar 1d6. Hooray!
Hey.
That's a better weapon. Propped up against some piping. There is nothing else in the room of much use. So you decide to try and open the door in the far wall where the key is hanging.
Okay.
A shotgun.
The key turns in the lock and you find yourself back in the main corridor running left to right. You lock the door behind you and think about which way to go. The decision is soon made for you. Excellent. There is somebody coming along the right-hand corridor. Turn to 109.
Okay, so, right, 11 zombies. I need to remember to write 11 zombies. Right, coming down the corridor towards you with ungainly lumbering strides are four zombies. They have pallid grey skin covering the gaping wounds and festering sores. Their hair hangs down in greasy clumps. They have cracked lips and bleeding tongues that stick out of their open mouth. Their sunken glazed over eyes are bloodshot and red-rimmed, but they get very animated when they see you. They screeching and gurgling sounds as they try to run faster. You might swipe them barehanded or with the weapon you have on four zombies, right? Come on, be nice. I've got a 1d6 weapon. A 6! Yay!
Excellent.
So we've killed 15 zombies now and not had to lose any stamina in that fight. Right, 1d6.
Oh, this looks good. This looks good. So you notice that one of the zombies is clutching a pistol, 1d6 plus 2, holding it by the barrel. You prize it out of the undead monstrosity's fat fingers and discover the clip has no bullets, although the pistol appears to be in full working order. If you have bullets in your backpack, which we do, you'll be able to fire the gun. Further down the corridor, you see a large wooden crate next to a round manhole covering the floor. If you want to prise the lid off the crate, turn to 152. If you try to lift the manhole cover, turn to 210, or would you rather walk on 337? Okay, so pistol, that's good.
Yeah.
I think we need to probably use the crowbar to prise this up.
Yeah.
Otherwise we'll get a hernia.
Yes. Exactly. Well, you predict right. The lid is firmly nailed down and the crate is too heavy to lift to smash over. Even possess the crowbar turns to 78. Which we do.
Yeah. So the nails creak as you prise the lid off the crate. It is full of bags of sand and cement. You take out two to reveal a plastic lunchbox. The bad news is that it doesn't contain any food. Oh. The good news is that it does contain two hand grenades. 2d6 plus 1. You clip them onto your belt, feeling very pleased with your discovery. They could prove to be very useful in combat, but remember to cross them off your event sheet when you use them. If you want to lift the manhole cover, turn to 210. If you want to carry on down the corridor, 337. So two hand grenades.
Yeah, so that's going to be very useful. I imagine we're going to meet a lot of zombies at some point.
I think you might be right. Okay, so...
Right, should we lift the manhole cover? I think we've got to explore everywhere, because we, Ian Livingstone has sadistically made it so we have to fight everything in the castle.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you've got to, you've got to kill all the zombies, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's lift the cover.
Yes. There is a handle on the manhole cover, and you lift it up quite easily. You're immediately engulfed by a terrible stench, so bad it makes you wretch. It's the foul stench, smell of raw sewage. There is a narrow shaft that drops vertically down through an open sewage tunnel below. There are iron rungs fixed to the wall all the way down the shaft. You drop a stone down and hear it land with a dull plop, plop in the sewage water below. If you want to climb down the shaft, turn to 379. If you'd rather close the manhole and continue down the corridor, turn to 337. I think we should go down this shaft.
Yeah.
Right.
Goonies style. Okay, this looks good. Climbing down the iron rungs, you nearly choke on the acrid fumes rising up from below. At the bottom of the shaft, you find yourself standing on the edge of an open sewer. A large open pipe protrudes from a brick wall to your left, spilling its unpleasant contents into the sewer, which has a red brick path running alongside it on which you are standing. The cylindrical sewer is dimly lit by small light bulbs attached to a drooping cable suspended from the brick ceiling. The lights are too far apart to enable you to see very far. Droplets of water fall from the ceiling, make an eerie plopping sound as they land in the slow-flowing sewage water. Suddenly you hear squeaking sounds. You peer ahead into the gloom and see not zombies, but a swarm of huge grey rats scurrying towards you. Mutated by the contaminated sewage, the mutant sewer rats are four times the size of Ordinary rats are RUSs. They have bulging red eyes and long, sharp teeth and claws. There are 15 of them in total. Each has one stamina point and causes one damage point. You must choose a weapon to fight them.
I think we have to use a hand grenade.
I think we've got to use a hand grenade. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so yeah, pull the pin. Lego hand grenade.
I've got to roll an 8 or more, otherwise I'm dead. I've rolled an 8. So I've done, 2d6 plus 1, so I've killed 9 of them. So I lose 6 stamina points, down to 1 stamina point. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've got 6 to run. We can either risk it with a pistol, so roll a 4 or more to kill them all, or we can throw another hand grenade, play it safe, which is a lot more likely.
Yeah, I think we need to use a hand grenade.
Throw another hand grenade.
Yeah.
I've rolled a 5. Yes, just killed them all. So there we go. We used both the hand grenades, but we killed all the nasty rats.
And they don't even count as zombies on our kill list.
I know, it's terrible. That's a waste of... We have all those lovely hand grenades, but
damn
it. Right, 1, 2, 2. A stinking sewer inhabited by rats is not a place you would normally choose to be. Oh well, there we go. I'm glad to hear that. And it takes some time to get used to the foul smell. You walk on until you are stopped in your tracks by the sight of two shadowy figures ahead in the filth. Two males in ragged clothing come to view, wading slowly through the dark, stinking sludge. One of them is chewing on a rat, and the other is carrying a bucket. It's a bit random. They become very animated when they see you once again, pointing at you and howling rage. There are zombies. There are two zombies. So I think since we've got a pistol that deals at least 3 damage, we can just kill them and forget about them.
Yeah, and we've got 3 bullets.
I don't know if there's a limit of bullets.
Well, I think did we pick up 3 bullets? I can't remember now.
We just picked up a load of bullets.
Yeah, I think we just picked up bullets.
I think if you just got bullets and you just, that's it. So,
oh.
So I don't think there's a limit. So, yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's good. Right, 187. You see that the bucket contains nothing but dead rats. Obviously, you check the bucket. You also see a gold locket attached to a gold chain that's hanging around the purple vein neck of one of the zombies.
Wait.
Luckily, the zombie landed on the path, and you are able to pull the locket from its neck. You open it to reveal a photo of a pretty blonde-haired girl who looks to be 18 or 19 years old. The other side of the locket is the name Amy Fletcher engraved on it. Oh, that's nice. You put in your pocket and walk on, eventually coming to another vertical shaft similar to the one you climbed down earlier. Ahead, you can see that the tunnel is blocked by an iron-barred grill, preventing you from walking down the path. If you have a hacksaw and want to try and cut through the iron bars, 10 to 18, you do have a hacksaw.
We do.
Yeah.
We do have a hacksaw. I think we should hack at that.
Yeah.
Okay. 18. Ooh. The new blade saws through 2 iron bars in just a few minutes, allowing you to squeeze through the gap. As you walk further along the path, you catch sight of something floating in the sewage water. Ooh. It's a small bottle made of green glass. If you want to fish the bottle out of the water, turn to 63. If you would rather walk on, turn to 278. I think we're going to fish it out.
Yes. Not wishing to touch it, you find a stick on the path, which you use to flick the bottle out of the water. It hits the tunnel floor, smashing into tiny pieces to reveal a piece of crumpled yellow notepaper. You unfold the paper to find the words combination lock number 181.
Wait.
Yes, printed on it. You place the piece of paper in your pocket and walk off. Turn to 278. Well, that was good.
181. Cool. 278. The sewer comes to an end at a point where it feeds into a sewage pipe into the brick wall. The pipe is too narrow to crawl into. Not that you'd want to go in anyway. There is no alternative but to go back to the shaft you passed and climb out the sewers. 173.
Oh, climb out of the sewers, what a shame. You climb up the iron rungs until you reach the manhole cover at the top of the shaft. You push on it and are relieved to see that it lifts up. You climb out of the shaft and find yourself standing in a small room with bare white painted walls. There is a white door in one wall with a key in the lock. The key turns and the door opens into a main corridor, exactly like the one you left to go down the sewer. Going left will only take you back to where you have already been, so you decide to head right towards a flight of ascending stairs. Mm. Ooh, heading up a level.
Progress.
Yeah.
The rickety stairs lead up to the ground floor of the castle. You're relieved to be back in daylight after being held captive for so many days in near darkness. Excuse me. Your eyes water as they adjust to the bright light of the sun's rays pouring through a window high up in the wall opposite the top of the stairs. There are several life-size portraits hanging on the bright, brightly patterned walls. A vivid red carpet runs along the centre of the stone-floored hallway on either side of the stairs. If you want to inspect the paintings, turn to 354. If you want to go left along the hallway, turn to 223. Or if you want to go right along the hallway, 113. Let's have a look at those paintings, eh?
Yes. This isn't Firetop Mountain, so they're not going to come to life and do nasty things. The paintings are all portraits of formidable-looking gentlemen who have lived in the castle down through the ages. They're all named and dated. All of them have the surname Yer. Each has a stern look on his face except for one. A sharp-featured man with long hair, a piercing stare, and a sly grin whose looks more mean and evil than all the others. His name is Gingrich Yer. He's the current owner of the castle and the man Otto said wanted to kill you. Despite wearing a yellow waistcoat and holding a small white rabbit in his arms, he stands there confidently as a man to be feared. If you want to inspect the portrait more closely, turn to 126. If you want to go left along the hallway, turn to 223. If you want to go right, turn to 113. I think we should inspect it more closely.
I think Ian, if Ian's given us the option to inspect it, we've got to inspect it.
Exactly.
Okay. So, the image of you holding a rabbit looks quite surreal against the backdrop of the 1960s light blue and cream Austin Healey sports car that he's standing in front of. You notice that the painting is tilting slightly to one side. If you want to look behind the portrait, turn to 386. If you want to go left, 223, or right, 113. Go on, let's have a look.
Yes. You move the painting to one side and see there is a narrow door in the wall, which was previously concealed. If you want to open it, turn to 304. If you want to go left or right, well, should we go through the door?
Yes.
The narrow door.
Yeah, okay. The door opens to reveal a narrow cupboard set into the wall. Inside the cupboard, you are overjoyed to find the perfect zombie stopper, a shotgun.
Oh, brilliant.
1d6 plus 5, 4 boxes of shotgun cartridges and 2 boxes of bullets. You take everything and close the door quickly, moving the painting back to its original position. If you want to go left, 223, or right, 113. Okay, well, that's a good find.
Yes. I'll be confused though. Do you use a box of ammo every time you fight, or
I really don't know. In fact, I'll just check out the rules. I'm not sure whether it says.
I don't think it does either.
No, I think it's just flavor text.
Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, it's got all the bullets you need.
Excellent.
So, yes. Right. No, but it still doesn't give us a clue as to whether we should go left or right.
No.
So, well, I want to say go left this time.
Yeah, okay.
Because we went right last time.
Yeah.
Right, left. Left along the hallway, right. Sorry, I'm just getting confused now. I'm saying left and right. you pass by an ornately carved mahogany table on which stands a large patterned vase and 2 small porcelain figurines. The vase has a striking design of interwoven blue flowers painted on it. You look inside, but it's empty. There is a small drawer at the end of the table. You slide it open to find a tape measure, a pair of reading glasses, a pocket Romanian English dictionary. This is 223, isn't it?
Yeah.
And a calculator. You take what you want to move on, or everything, obviously. I think Ian Livingstone's lampshading himself by putting in the text that you're inspecting every nook and cranny. I think he knows everyone there. You know, he knows what he's well known for. So we've got a tape measure, so we can see how far away the zombies are when they attack us.
Oh, yeah.
Reading glasses, so we can read the accordion magazine. A pocket Romanian English dictionary.
Well, because obviously accordion magazine will be in Romanian, so we'd have to translate it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've achieved our aim of reading about accordions. That's good. And a calculator, so we can work out how many accordions there are.
Yep.
So, yes. This is Ian Livingstone's secret success level, isn't it? The accordion magazine. Right, so... the hallway makes a sharp right, and you arrive at a doorway in the right-hand wall, which has the painted sign the word cleaners on it, screwed to the door. If you want to open the door, turn to 89. If you'd rather walk on, I think we should open it, but I think the cleaners have probably been turned into zombies.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's be careful. We've got a shotgun there.
Yeah, let's just use a shotgun. Okay, 89. Cool. The door opens to reveal a small dark cupboard. There's a lot of cupboards around, I've got to say.
Yeah.
As you reach for the light switch, a drooling one-eyed zombie jumps out from behind a pile of storage boxes, scattering them everywhere. Oh, no. Caught off guard, you're pulled to the ground by the undead fiend, who launches a frenzied attack on you, screeching loudly. Lose one stamina point.
Oh, no.
You struggle to throw the heavy zombie off you to defend yourself as it tries to bite you with its jagged, virus-infected teeth protruding from its gums. I think we're dead.
Oh, we're dead.
Killed by a cleaner.
I know.
Oh,
terrible.
Well, that's it. We're dead.
Yeah, we've got 17 zombies.
17.
I think we've got more items of equipment than we have killed zombies.
Definitely, we've got absolutely tons of stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we can at least scream for help in Romanian, and... yeah.
Okay, well, that was good. I think we'll have to try again sometime.
Yes.
I'll upload this probably tomorrow. I'll sort of edit it and put it all together tomorrow, and then another time we'll go through and try again. We know what to do now.
Yes, we do. Yes. we'll take the other routes, and well, that's good. It's been great.
Yeah, awesome, excellent. Well, thanks for that. Thanks for that, Stuart. That's awesome.
All right, thanks. Well, have a good week.
Yeah, you too, mate.